Good morning. Today we're going to begin the sugya of Schiras Karka, real estate leases. As we mentioned, these halachos are a lot more common than the sugya of Schiras Metalatalin. While we don't rent much in the way of Metalatalin from another yid, many people are either a landlord or tenants, and the issues that we'll discuss are things that come up on a fairly regular basis. So let's begin with creating a lease. As we've discussed many times, that whenever you do a transaction, buying, selling, renting, so the fact that the parties agree that they want to buy, sell, rent, work, is that itself does not create a binding obligation. In order to create something that has teeth, that's enforceable in Beis Din, you need a Maisa Kinyan. You need some sort of formal act that finalizes the deal and binds both parties to it. Schiras Karka is no exception. And if a person wants to rent a house, in order for the parties to be bound to the agreement, he needs to make a Maisa Kinyan. Now, Karka, we know, if you're buying Karka, the three main Kinyanim are Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. Paying for it, having a Shtar Kinyan, or a Chazaka, taking physical possession of the property, are the three ways to buy real estate. Hu hadin by schiras. When you're renting or you're leasing a house, in order to bind the parties, you need one of these three kinyanim or sederus and machlekes, but kesef, shtar, or chazaka. So the most common kinyan that's actually made in practice is shtar. When people rent a house, they generally sign a lease. The lease is a shtar. It's a contract. It's a shtar kinyan, and that is how most people bind themselves to the lease. Now, if you go through a lease carefully, if you read the document, in truth, the way it's written does not meet the technical requirements for a shtar kinyan. A shtar kinyan is written that sadai mechurlach or sadai sechurlach, the language is a language of he is hereby renting the property to the other person. The other person is neschayev, whatever obligations in return. The language of leases is very often written, there's an agreement to lease it. Technically, in halacha, that language would not create a kinyan. It would not be a valid shtar. There are other requirements of shtar that very, very often are not met, a question of who owns the paper, whose shtar it is. Nevertheless, a lease would be binding, but in all likelihood, you have to come on to the concept of situmta. That just like there's a concept of situmta, famously, if you in the diamond industry, if you say mazel u'bracha, that is a kinyan, that seals the deal. Now, it's not, if you look in halacha, you won't find anywhere a kinyan of mazel u'bracha. You need meshicha, hagvah, you have to do some, with metalatlin, you have to take possession of it. But if there becomes a widespread minhag, that if you do this certain act, that seals the deal, then that becomes a situmta, and halacha will recognize that as a kinyan. So if today the practice is to sign this kind of paper, and when you sign this kind of paper, everyone's locked in, so it would be a situmta, and it would be a valid kinyan. Truth is, there is a concept in kinyanim that even if you don't have a schiras today, a hischaivus, or an obligation to rent something, is also another way of doing a kinyan, and therefore perhaps that language of shtar could be interpreted as a hischayavus, and that would be another way of being mekayimet. But putting aside the lumdus and the technicalities, signing a lease would certainly be a kinyan. And once a person signs a lease, just like when you buy a house, it's yours. The parties can't just change their mind and back out. So if you sign a lease, you've committed to rent it for a year, 2 years, whatever the term may be, so that's a commitment. And the landlord cannot go ahead and just change his mind and rent it to someone else. And who had in the tenant? The tenant cannot just decide he doesn't want to move in. If he doesn't move in, he will likely be responsible to pay for the rent for the entire term of the lease. Now, we'll discuss by Rikos that if the landlord finds a replacement tenant, he can't double dip. But putting that aside, if there is a loss, once you sign a lease, it's a serious matter, and it would be a kinyan, and you would be responsible to pay for the entire term of the lease. This is kinyan shtar. The next possible kinyan is kinyan kesef. You buy a property and you pay for it, it's yours. Now, the kinyan kesef, you do not have to pay for the entire property. You can be buying a $10 million property. You give the fellow a dime, a pruta. That itself can be a maista kinyan on the entire property. The point is not that you're paying for everything. The point is simply by giving over some money, the Torah's kinyan, with the intent to acquire the property for there to be a transfer, that is a maisa kinyan, and that is something that will be effective for real estate. Now, when you're buying real estate, so there's a halacha that although kesef is a kinyan, although giving a dime is enough, it's now yours. The halacha is that in an astro de kasvi shtara, in a place where everyone writes a shtar, everyone writes a contract, they sign over the deed for real estate. So there, although technically kesef is a kinyan, if you pay for it, but they didn't yet sign the deed, they didn't write a contract, the kinyan is not chal. Why? Because there's an umdana that in a place where they always have a shtar, people are not saying b'chdas until they get the shtar. They're not secure, they're still concerned, they don't have legal title to it yet. And therefore, even though they've paid, if there's an umdino, they do not intend the transaction to be final and binding until they actually go ahead and sign the shtar. At that point, it becomes binding.
What is the function of the without a shtar? What would be the point?
It's the maker wants his money to show that they're serious, and the next step, obviously, will be to write a shtar. But he has the money now, he pays, he wants to move the deal forward, but it's not binding. And if for some reason the moicher delays delivering the shtar, the buyer can say, give me my money back. I gave it to you with the expectation I'm getting a shtar right away, and if you're not delivering, I'm not bound to this deal. I can't have a situation where you have my money, but I don't have any proof that the property belongs to me. Now, again, if the parties speak out specifically, even though this is the norm, by giving this money, I am being kind of the property, it's mine. They have the right to do that. But there's an umdana that just because you paid, if it's a place where everyone is makbid to have a shtar, to have title, the kinyan is not final until the title is transferred. Correct. It's not a maisa kinyan. Normally, when giving the money is a maisa kinyan, the deal is done, the house is yours, and the money is his. Here, because there's an umdana that it's not intended to be a kinyan and be able to back out, you'd have issues with Mechusar Ramad and Mishaparo. Hopefully we'll discuss that a little bit. We'll just mention it briefly a little bit later. Now, this is all when you're buying property. By Schirus, the halacha is, Mechaber Paskins, that by a rental, once you pay for it, there is a kinyan. We do not say this svara that until there's a signed contract, until there's a lease, there's no smichas das. The Sma explains, because when you're buying real estate, it's a very significant transaction, it's la'olam, you want the security, you want the proof. Ma'ashen kein, a lease, which is not as big of a deal, and it's more temporary, people do not have the same level of kpeda, and once the money is paid, the assumption is it is a valid kinyan immediately, even though a lease was not written. Now, although the sma, this is halacha mefureshes, however, the later achroinim say, this is not a gzeres hakasuf. This is a svara. And the sman in Shulchan Aruch, in those times, the norm was, when you're dealing with a lease, people didn't take it that seriously. Either there would be a shtar, there wouldn't be a shtar, so there, kesef would be a good kinyan. However, if the facts on the ground are that you live in a place and a time where people are makbid, whenever someone leases a property, he makes sure to get a written lease. He wants to have proof of what his rights are, what his obligations are. So in that case, it would revert back to the halacha of a mekach, and in that case, even if you would give money, even if you'd give a deposit, it would not be a good kinyan because people are not semich das until they have a written contract, until they have a written lease. Now, today, I think the minog is probably like that. I think today people are makbid to get a written lease in most areas. And if that's the fact, if that is the widespread minog, if that's what if everyone does insist on having a written agreement, so then even if a person for some reason gives a deposit or pays in advance without getting that agreement, it would not be a kinyan unless they specifically spoke out, we want this to be a final and binding kinyan. Now, if the minog is not clear, if there's some sort of, if it's not clear whether people are makbid or people are not makbid, there's a very interesting shuvah from the Achiezer. The Achiezer says a very nice cheshbon. He says, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that by schirus, we assume that money is kind of, people are not makbid on the shtar. If you're in a place where there's a suffix, whether people are or are not makbid, did things change or not? Zog the Achiezer, me'ikar hadin, before we get to any svaras, if you give money, that's a kenya. The halacha is, by a mekach u'memkar, Chazal said, they were yoyer the slave, daita, and they said there's an umdana, that you don't mean to finalize the deal until there's a contract, but in such a place. So therefore, if there's no contract, we say the money is not a king. By steers, it's normally not like that. But Zog d'Achiezer, if there's any suffix, if it's not clear whether it is a kpeido or not, so we have money that's paid, which is certainly a king in midarais. We have a suffix whether that kinyan is bottled because of an umdana. If you have a vadai kinyan and a suffix of a swara of an umdana, whether we can say that he didn't really mean it as a kinyan, he's waiting for the shtar. He says that in such a case, you would go with the ikra din, you'd go with the vadai kinyan, and in such a case, if it's not clear, we would say that the kinyan is chal and both parties are locked in. Again, I think today, I think the practice today, I think people are makbid to have a shtar, and therefore I think today giving money alone would not be a valid kinyan unless they specifically said, I'm giving this as a kinyan, and this is binding on both parties. Yeah, money was paid without a lease. Okay, so we'll have to discuss by rechos. When a person leases a property, what is the typical term? How much notice do you have to give for what is the typical length? That's an entire sugya that Mirza Hashem will discuss next week. But it's true. When you give money and there's no specific discussion, even if we're saying it's a Kenyan, you're locked in, you can only be locked into the minimal term of a lease. So certainly, based on how much you paid, if you paid 6 months worth rent, it obviously can't be less than that, but it's very likely if no one moves into an apartment for less than a year, or that's the shortest lease that's out there, that's in the shortest normal lease, then there would be a stoma, that's what it is. But again, that will depend on the case. That we'll have to discuss by Rechus next week when we talk about the term of a lease. So this is halakha number one. Paying for it should be a good kinyan. And however, today, where the norm is to write a lease, it probably would not be chal until there is a written lease in place. There's another issue with payment today, and this is subject to a huge machlokes. And that is that everyone agrees, when you want to buy something or lease, if you say, here, I'm giving you a dollar, this is a kinyan. So everyone agrees, you accept the dollar, it's a kinyan, and no matter how valuable the lease is, no matter how long the term is, everyone is locked in, there was a valid kinyan. Typically today, when people sign a lease, or even if they're not signing the lease, if they give money, what they do is they give a deposit. What is a deposit? Is a deposit a kinyan? Is it like you're giving the person a dollar and saying, this binds us to the deal? Or perhaps not. There's a concept of an arvuni yikoin. There's a concept where you give a deposit. And the understanding is that if the deposit is given as security, that if you back out, the owner can keep your money. But there's malkim to understand, and some achroinim hasn like this lahalacha, that when you give a security deposit, you're not making a kinyan that now you're bound to the entire 10-year lease. What you're doing is you're putting down X amount of dollars to show that you're serious. And if you walk away, you lose your deposit. But if that's the case, then it's not a kinyan. It's just some sort of, perhaps it's an asmachta, again, for technical reasons it won't be, but it's basically, you're just in agreement, I'm putting down this money that if I walk away, I lose this deposit. But in that case, there's no kinyan, the parties aren't technically bound to the contract. There's a tremendous nafkamina. Who puts down the security deposit? the tenant. Now, if it's a kinyan, then both parties are locked in. The tenant has to rent, the landlord also has to provide it to him. On the other hand, if it's nothing more than putting down money, that if you walk away, you'll lose your deposit, then what obligates the landlord to provide the unit? There's no kinyan. There's no lease. Either the deposit, okay, the tenant put down the deposit, not the landlord. So if you take this understanding all the way and say it's simply an agreement that if he walks away, he loses the deposit, then the landlord has absolutely no obligation to the tenant. Now, there are a lot of tshuvas that discuss this. The tshuvas are written in different times and different places, so it's hard to know what's a machlokes or if perhaps just the metzias changed in different places or over time. I think today most paiskim understand that a security, at least in the context of real estate, I think when people lease property and they put down a security deposit, it's understood to mean that it's done as a kinyan. It's not just a penalty. The parties are locked in. But there certainly is makom and halacha for people to disagree because there are marmakayim is on both sides of the issue. Now, I will add that even though a security deposit we have this shaila, is this a kinyan or is this just a penalty for walking away? If you pay the first month's rent, there, a much stronger argument can be made that everyone would agree that's a kinyan. Because it's not a security, it's not a deposit, it's not a penalty. You're actually paying the first month's rent. Once you're paying, you started paying for the rent, that l'chayra should be pashut. It's an actual kinyan, it's actually payment for the lease. And in that case, I think everyone would agree that you could not be chayzer. Again, we still will have to deal with the first issue, that if you paid but you didn't sign a contract, there's no lease, it might be an asur d'kasvi shtara, and that might be a reason to say it's not a kinyan. But as far as the payment itself, I think a first month's payment would definitely be a valid kinyan. So we've gone through the kinyan kesef, we've gone through the kinyan shtar. The last one, a kinyan chazaka, is when you take physical possession of the property. Now, normally for a chazaka, you need null parts. God or kosher, you actually have to do something. You have to lock the door, do something that actually shows bailus. However, there's a machlokes. What happens if you just use the property? If you rent a property, you put your bags in, but you don't actually lock the door. You don't do it. You don't make any change in the property. So by bekach memkar, this is machlokes mechaber and rama, whether use hishtamshus is enough to be a kinyan. However, when it comes to Sfirus, the Machin Ephraim, the Nesivus, and others say that there everyone agrees, since the entire concept of Sfirus is just using the property, so by using it would be a valid kinyan. So if you rent a house and you start bringing your stuff in, even though you didn't do a formal Maisel Chazaka, you didn't lock the door, you didn't go ahead and you didn't do any of the things that qualify as a Maisel Chazaka for regular kinyanim, but for Sechirus, the moment you start using it, the moment you're mishtamish with it, that, according to most poskim, would be a valid kinyan. Now, if you need a kinyan to rent a property, so this leads us to a very basic question. When you want to buy or sell something, so, as we spoke out, the sale is not valid until there's an actual kinyan that's done. What is the halacha? If you want to sell, you have a factory, you manufacture goods, you get a big order, you want to sell the person goods that you don't yet own, that weren't created. So you're going to do a Maisa Kenyan, you obviously can't do Mashiach or Hagbah if they're not around, but you'll do a Kenyan Sudar, you'll do another Maisa Kenyan to obligate to sell the items that you're going to produce next week in your factory. So this is a problem. This is a Kenyan on a Dover Shloi Baloyla. You're selling something that doesn't exist, and we pass like the Chachamim, you cannot do such a sale. The same thing is true on an Einu B'Shusa. If the thing exists, the items were made in China, but the factory is shipping it to you, they're not in your possession yet, it still belongs to the factory, it only becomes yours once they actually deliver it. So you cannot sell items that are not B'Shusa, that you don't actually have on hand. It's Einu B'Shusa, a king cannot be Chach. Correct. There is a hischaivos, and the machlokes says in the yeshivas how that will work. There is such a concept, but to actually make a kinyan today on something which you don't own or doesn't exist, that is not possible. So another case of a loy bal oilam is a person is expecting a Yerusha. He's expecting a Yerusha. So he wants to sell what he's going to get Yerusha. The problem is, his father's still alive. He was not actually Yerusha. So this is another case of a Einar B'shusa, or it's a, he doesn't have it yet. So Pashtus, he cannot sell it. Now, Imkain, the question is, what about a lease? Certainly, if a person is building a house, and he wants to sign a lease before the house is completed, that's a loy bal oilam. You can't, just like you can't sell something that doesn't exist, you can't rent lease something that doesn't exist. And since right now it's just a hole in the ground, that the unit doesn't exist, you would not be able to be seicher the house, seicher the apartment, because it's not made yet, and that kinyan would not be valid. No, so there it's different. There you're being the ksuba. There is a hischayvus today. You're chayved today. The shibur will be chal on a chosin that come later. But every time you borrow money, every time you create a chayv, you're ba'ilam. You have a chayv today to pay the ksuba to your wife. Whatever nechasim come, because you owe the money, the nechasim are meshubit to your chayv, because nechsi dinish are an ariv. But over here, the entire kinyan is on a loy ba'ilam. There's nothing here. You want to sell or lease something that doesn't exist. A loy ba'ilam, a kinyan cannot be made. So this case is a fairly halacha psuka. You cannot lease it if it has not yet been built. Where things get a lot stickier is, what happens if you have an apartment?
Why is that relevant? You're obligated to lease it to him once it is built, so you already have the
silence. No, so when you're selling something or when you're leasing something, that's a direct kinyan. A kinyan on a loy bal oilam doesn't work. Now, he pointed out there is a different concept called a hischaivus, which you would need different language in the shtar, and they're nafkaminas. For example, if there's a hischaivus to sell, what happens if after it's built, you go ahead and you breach the hischaivus, and you sell the property to someone else? So if you hold like Rav Meir, that it's a kinyan, and somehow you can make a kinyan today on something that will exist tomorrow, so then in the moment it's built, it belongs to the buyer, and if the seller tries selling it to another person, it doesn't work. Masha'enken, if it's a hischaivus, although if the person who has a contract can come to Bezin and force him to honor the hischaivus, if he goes ahead and sells it to someone else, it's sold. But also, again, the language that will have to be used is going to have to be a different language. Okay, that's true. If the language is going to be a language of hischaivus, then that will create a hischaivus. But I mentioned hischaivus, the way to enforce hischaivus or the remedy for a breach would be different than an actual kinyan. There are limits to this. You can't make hischaivus on everything. There are limits to what can be done and personal achrayus. It's a whole thing. It's not so simple. But in some cases, that you are right, that you could create a hischaivus. Not really. But let's put that aside. Now, what happens if a unit is there? It's been built for 20 years. But right now you have a tenant. His lease expires in January. So you want to sign a lease today to a new tenant. Now, what are you doing? You are renting a property that you do not have control over today. Now, it's ba'olam, it definitely exists. And more than that, the guf is definitely yours. You're the landlord. It belongs to you. But the question is, can I rent something to someone when it's already rented out to another person? The current tenant has the rights to use this apartment. So I'm going ahead and I'm creating, giving someone the rights to use it in the future, where today I don't own the rights to use the apartment. So the Pesach Teshuvah in Simen Shin Tezvav has a very long arichus. Lamaisa, according to Roiv Poiskim, you could do it. It is because this is different than the case of building an apartment where something has to be done. People have to actually construct, they have to do a mice, they have to build it. It's also different than the case of Yerusha, where Yerusha, someone has to die. Until the death, until something changes, it doesn't belong to you. This case is much better. Although today you don't have the rights to use the apartment because they're already leased, however, that lease has an expiration date. And when you hit that expiration date, it mimela will revert back to you. There's no new action, there's no new kinyan, nothing has to happen other than the passage of time. And in such cases, according to Rav Paiskim, you could create a schirus, even though right now it is not ba'olam. Some Paiskim do add that you have to write me'achshav in the shtar, because otherwise, again, it's again what's in Hilchos Kinyanim, if you do not write me'achshav, it will be a problem because you do not have the rights to it right now. That already is a machlokes, but it's certainly a good idea. So if you are doing this, it's certainly a good idea to make sure the language in the shtar says that it is you know, chal me'achshav. But assuming you get the language right, according to most poskim, you could rent it out, even though right now it is leased to another person. Okay, but what we're saying over here, you could make such a taliyah, but what we're saying is, even if you hold kinyan payers is kekinyan haguf, which means that the soicher has really two assumptions. Number one, it's not so clear that a soicher has a real kinyan payers. Kinyan guf leperes. That's a machlokes we'll actually discuss in a moment. But even if you're going to say that he does, and it's a real kinyan, perhaps even kinyan haguf, if the fact that it comes from a mamela is a reason why you can sell the future rights today, even though right now they don't belong to you. Now, actually, I'll address that right now. There really is a fundamental question of, when you rent something, what exactly are you getting? Do you own it, or at least own its use for the next 3 years, where it's yours, it's a real kinyan? Just like you can buy a house, you can buy it forever. You can buy the use of the house for a period of time. It's a kinyan guf leperis lizman. That is one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that, no, it's not a real, it's not kinyan in the sense that it's yours, it's like you own the guf. There's a shibud. You have the rights to use it, the owner has to allow you to use this item, but it is not an actual kinyan in the guf hadavar. Now, there are many, many nafkaminas. I'll list a few, but just with the disclaimer that all of these nafkaminos, or most of them, although in Svara they seem to be totally in these two tzadim, you have people who hold one way and the other way. There's a lot of mixing and matching. In each case, there are other Svaras that come into play. But, for example, one question is, what happens if a person rents a house for 3 years and then he dies in the middle? Do the Yarshim, can the landlord tell the Yarshim, listen, your father rented it for 3 years. He owes 3 years of rent. He's not here. It's oinus. He has no use for it. You live overseas. Okay, that's not my problem. That's your problem. This right to use it belongs to you, your yarshin, from your father. And I have the right to collect the 3 years of rent from your father's estate. So if you hold that schirus is a real kinyan, it's a memkar l'yoyime. So just like when you buy something, if there's an oinus afterwards, that's the buyer's problem. So now that you've bought 3 years worth of use, it belongs to you. And if the person dies, there's an oinus, he has no benefit from it, he still has an obligation to pay. And this is the sheet of the Rajba. The Mordechai argues. The Mordechai says that no, it's just a shibud. There is a shibud to use it. But when it comes to chayuv, when it comes to shibudim, there, if there's an oinus and something changes, you can't hold him to that shibud, to that chayuv. And therefore, if he dies in the middle, the Yarshim have the right to be mevatel the Sirus, and there's no claim against the estate to pay for the rest of the term. So prepaying, you're stuck. If you're prepaying, you're going to be stuck. There's a machlokes, why? Either because it's a machlokes and the muchzik can say kimli, or perhaps that when you prepay, it could be everyone agrees that when you're giving the money up front, then it's not just a shiba. Then already you're buying the rights, and then you're locked in, and it's more chumra. That's machlokes in Simin Shin Lamed Daled. I think we mentioned it briefly when we were doing it in Sechiras Pailim way back. You have other nafkaminas. I mean, a cute nafkamina would be, is what happens if a ger rents an apartment for a year, and he dies in the middle. And I want to go ahead, and the ger has no yarshim, so I want to go ahead, I want to seize his lease, and I want to live in it for the rest of the term. So if when you rent something, it's yours, it's a memkar liyoymei, so then the ger bought it, it was his. Now that he died, it's hefker. So anyone can from the street can run into the apartment, grab it, and now he's zeichin it for the rest of the term. Masha ein kein, if it's not a kinyan, it's just a shibud, some sort of... So a shibud, the shibud is on the maskir's property. If the person who the shibud is to is no longer here, there's no longer anyone to who's in his place, so then the shibud is paka. And memela, it will belong to the maskir, and no one else would be able to run in and make a king. Now another nafkamina, what? Yeah, he will have to pay the rent. We'll have to discuss a ritva. Pashtus, yes. There is a technical argument that you can make, which again the ritva talks about. Rukiv Eger brings it down. You know, I'll just throw out the technical argument. Let's say a person leases a property for 3 years. Now, schiris mishna lemas lipsoif. You pay at the end of the term. But afal pikein, when the kinyan is made, if we look at it as a real mekach u'memkar, the father now owns this property. Who owns this nechus? So what would be, in a slightly different case, let's say a person buys a car, and he agrees he'll pay for it in 3 years. But the car is his. He dies. Now, who yarsha? What happens to the car? The car goes to his yarsha. What about the choiv? What about the debt? So debts don't go to yarsha. If there are nechasim that are mishubid, the owner may be able to make a tzvi against it. If there are no nechasim that are mishubid, because karaka metadal, and depending on before the takana, after the takana, then he's going to have a problem. So there is a tzad in halacha to say that if the kinyan is a good kinyan, so he has a 10-year lease, he dies, it goes to his yarshim. Now you want to send the yarshim the bill, see if the yarshim also have other nechasim from the father, so you can collect those nechasim for the father's chayv. But otherwise, the yarshim might be able to say, the asset goes b'yerusha. The chayv doesn't go b'yerusha, and therefore I can live in the apartment and I don't have to pay the rent. So you're saying that this asset, you should be able to be goyim with this asset for the, you know, the liability, there should be meshubit to the liability. The problem in this case is the liability doesn't kick in until the end of the lease. The default in halacha is you pay for a lease at the end, not the beginning. Now today, if the deal is you have to pay monthly and a chanami. But in a case, either the default in halacha or where they wrote it's a payment at the end, you have a problem. The asset is here today. The liability is not there. By the time you get to the liability, the asset's gone. Again, it's not quite as simple. This is just another good way to bring out the fact that if it's a kinyan, then it's a real kinyan. Now, another nafkamina, and this is probably the most prevalent, is what happens. A person leases a house for a three-year term. In the middle of the term, he decides to move out. Now, he has a written lease. He has a contract. He moved in. There's a kinyan. Kesef, shtar, chazaka. They made every kinyan in the book. Now they decide he's moving out. He calls up the landlord and says, I'm buying a house. Do you mind if I move out? Landlord says, no problem. B'vakasha, move out. No problem. We'll end the lease January 1st. Comes January 1st, and they change their mind. Either the tenant goes ahead and says, you know what, I thought I had a better unit, but now it fell through. So now I want to stay. The landlord says, too late. You said you're moving out. I agreed to release you. The deal's off. Now this is a very common issue that comes up. People will have a lease. They'll build a house. They'll tell their landlord that my house will be ready come January 1st, I'm going to move out. Go find yourself another tenant. And kachi darkei shalom, the house isn't ready January 1st. So the tenant says, I changed my mind, I want to stay in. The landlord says, too late. Now already the rents went up. Either he said, I already rented it to somebody else. Or he says, since we already agreed to undo the lease, if you want to stay, it's a new deal. And now I want to raise the rent by $300 a month. So who's right? L'chayrit should be telling the same shayla. If you hold that it's a kinyan, you bought it. So if you want to undo a kinyan, if you buy a car, and then you call the owner and you say, you know what, I changed my mind. He says, no problem, I'll take it back. That's not binding. Because there was a kinyan. You can only undo a kinyan by doing another kinyan. You have to sell it back to the moicher. In the absence of a kinyan, either party can be chayzer. Perhaps he shouldn't. It's mechusar amana. But no one can be bound to the terms because a kinyan wasn't made. If schirus is nothing more than a shibud, it's a schaivus, it's an obligation to provide it. It's like you owe someone money. So over here, you owe someone the use of your house. So if you owe someone money, the malva can be meichel. He doesn't need a kinyan. Mechila itself is enough. He says, I'm releasing you. The chayv is gone. You don't have to do any formal action. So im kain, if you, a verbal release should be enough, should allow either party to back out of the deal. Now, the Shach brings down from the Rivash that a verbal release will not help. The Rivash seems to hold that it's a real kinyan, you're locked in, and Amira Ba'alma is not enough. If you want to break a lease and the parties agree to it, you have to do a formal Maisa kinyan. Otherwise, either party can change their mind. They're still locked into the deal. The Ranach makes an interesting pshar. He says it depends who's trying to get out of the lease. Because let's take a step back for a moment. We're saying now that a lease is a kinyan. That means that when you go ahead, you sign a contract, you give money, you are now buying this property. It's yours, the kinyan guf l'peiros. For the next 3 years, this is yours. If you want to return it, you can't just say I'm returning it. You have to actually be mocking it back. Otherwise, if a soicher says I'm out, you can rent it to someone else. He can go ahead, he can change his mind. That's all true from the Seicher's perspective. He is kaina the use of the house for Lizman. On the other hand, what is the maskir getting, what is the landlord getting out of this deal? Does he have a kinyan in the Seicher? No. The Seicher's obligation is to pay rent. It's a chayv. The seicher is just, so while the seicher is the one that's buying something, he's the one that gets a kinyan in the property. The masker just gets, in exchange for the giving away this use of the property, he now gets, the seicher has to pay him $2,000 a month for the next 3 years. So Zakhtar Anach, in a case where the masker tells the seicher, I'm releasing you from paying rent. Just like if the seicher owed the masker money, there's a chayv. A chayv you can be meichel, you don't need a kinyan. So if the masker tells the seicher, that's it, you don't have to pay me anymore, you can leave. So then the seicher can leave. It's true in the other case, when the seicher verbally releases the masker, that's not going to work. Because the seicher has a kinyan, he owns the house. Until he's mocking it back, it still belongs to him. So even though he says, I'm going to leave, he can change his mind and he can stay. Masha'enking, the masker that tells him that you can leave, in other words, I'm releasing you from paying rent, that's a dollars and cents issue. That's a chayv. And therefore, the Ranach says the masker that releases the seicher verbally cannot back retract. On the other hand, the seicher that releases the masker, he could change his mind since he has a kinyan. He actually, in the absence of an opposing kinyan, he is not bound to this haskam. This is the sheet of the Ranach. This is his pshara. On the other side of the table, you have the Shar Mishpat and Shamish and Machan Ephraim, they go the other extreme. They say Schirus is not a real kinyan, it's just a shibud. And therefore they say a verbal release, whether it's the masker, whether it's a seicher, either way, that would be enough. And once the parties agree to undo the deal, once the parties say, I'm moving out January 1st, then neither party has the right to change their mind. Once they do that, then it's the mechila is valid immediately, and the deal is off. And if they want to stay, then the other party can be ma'akiv. Now, halacha l'maisa, the Mishpat Shalom says it is a sveka d'dina, because there is a huge machlokes on what the definition of schiris is and how it works. It's a sveka d'dina, and the muchzik will win, which essentially means that in a case where there's a verbal release, the seicher moves out, and the masker wants to bill him for the rent, he can say, I'm a muhzik, you verbally released me, and therefore he will not have to pay. The opposite case, where the seicher wants to stay, and the masker says, you see, you agreed to leave, I don't want you to stay, they already would go with a muchzik. That muchzakis is a little bit more complicated. We're going to have to discuss that in the future, but there is a concept of karka b'cheslis ba'aloi medes. The masker is generally considered a muchzik on the property, so to stay in his property without permission, l'chayri, you have the right to be ma'akiv. However, by a plukta d'rabdasa, which we'll explain what that means, it's not so pashut. So they're ready to question of, although the muchzik will win, we have a question of who the muchzik will be. Now, this is all in Hilchos Kinyanim. So you need a kinyan. Once there is a kinyan, we have a shailo, how far the kinyan is or what you need to do to reverse the kinyan. I'd like to just take a few minutes to go through what's really a chazara of the concept of mechusra amona and mishapara. And that is, even if there's a verbal agreement, even the absence of a kinyan, so Bezdin cannot force you to honor your words. If you change your mind and you want to back out, Bezdin cannot stop you. However, as we've mentioned many times, there is a concept of mechusra amana, that once a person makes a commitment to buy, to sell, to give a present, to do something, then backing out is ein ruach achal menoicha imenu. A yid, hinshel chatzedek, once you make a commitment, once you give your word, you're supposed to honor that commitment. So we can't force you, but it is certainly usur and certainly the wrong thing to do to go ahead and just to change your mind. So if a person commits to leasing a house, whether it's the landlord or the tenant, even putting aside these technical issues of kinyanim, of whether there was a valid kinyan, wasn't a valid kinyan, once there is a verbal commitment, the person that backs out would be considered a mechusar amana. Now, mechusar amana, we mentioned, is not enforceable. While certainly if they ask a shiloh what the right thing to do is, you should be honoring your commitments, but if the person refuses to, Beznik cannot force him to be Oyman al Dibura.
Is a commitment to leave an apartment also considered mechusar amana? Let's say the landlord goes and rents it out to someone else, and now you start to stay.
Okay, so the truth is like this. I should have mentioned that in a case, going back to that machlokes where there's a verbal release, where we have an issue whether it works or not, there are shitas that say that even if you hold that it doesn't work, or if the landlord tells the tenant, you're leased, go find yourself another apartment. And he goes ahead and he leases another apartment. He says, since he was moitzi ha'itzos al pi diburai, based on the landlord's instructions, he went ahead and leased another apartment. Now the landlord's responsible. He has to either let him go, or l'chayr, he has to pay for the new lease. Because al pi diburai, he went ahead and signed this new contract. So even in cases where, again, we have machlokes whether he's technically released, but if you gave him instructions, you told him, go rent somewhere else, and he does, then already the landlord will be responsible for that hefzid. Now the case, it's an Atera Zakenim that says this, his case is where the tenant goes ahead and leases it. The inverted case, I didn't see discussed meforish anywhere, where the landlord goes ahead and gives it to another person, but it's that case is a little bit worse, because in that case, on the tzad that the kinyan is to the first person is still a valid kinyan, the second lease is not a good lease. It's batel. It was a mistake. So in that case, I don't know whether this ateris kinyan would apply. So going back, when you make a commitment, a verbal commitment, although we can't force you, it is mechusar amana to back out. However, when you're dealing with a mechusar amana, there's a very big heter of trei tari. And that is, if you agree to buy something, and before the kinyan, there is a drastic change in the value, the market changes, so then you have the right to back out. Because you made your commitment to spend $1,000 a month on rent for something worth $1,000. You never committed to pay $1,000 a month for rent for something which today is only worth $500. So if you made a kinyan, kinyan's a kinyan, it's too late. But if in the absence of a kinyan, it's just a question of your verbal commitment, there are many places can say, by trei tari, if there's a change in the price, that is a reason to back out. And hu hadin, any material circumstances that changed, that now this rental doesn't make sense for you, if it's just a question of mechusar amana, there, according to many shitas, you would have the right to back out. The Aruch HaShulchan says, nevertheless, it's a midas chasidus not to back out, even by a trei tari. But the ikar halacha of Aruch HaShulchan, Chassam Sofer, is that it would technically be mutter. This is when there's nothing more than a verbal commitment. If you give money, even in a case where the money is not a kinyan, but here already there is a question of mishapara. When you buy metaltalin, if you give money, although it's not a kenyan, if a person backs out, then there, he gets a klal of misha par me'anche dar amabo who yifra mimish te'en oimid b'diburay. It is much more chomer than mechusar amana. So he still has the ability to do it, but Bezdin gives him this terrible klala for backing out of his word once he already gave a deposit, once he already gave money. This halacha is primarily said by metalfalin. Karka is a huge machloikis, where the concept of mishapara applies by karka. Now it's a machloikis, it's many poskim seem to say that it does, but it's not davar muskim l'kol, and therefore it would be hard to give a mishapara. But akopanim it's a suffix, and there are many shitas that once you give money, even if there's no kinyan, that would be enough to create a mishapara, which is more chomer than a mechusar amana. When it's a deposit, that raises another set of issues, which we discussed by Rikos when we went through Hilchos Mishnapara, but just to mention very briefly, a mashkin generally does not create a Mishnapara at all. However, many places can say a mashkin of money would be better, and that could create a Mishnapara, and therefore, if you give a deposit on a real estate lease, according to many places, even when there is no kinyan, it will be enough to create a Mishnapara, and the parties will be mechuyev to honor it, even though it can't be enforced, but it will be a mishapara if they back out.